How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick, no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Right Source Marketing at Refraction. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wappas, Potato Carp, Gene Sachs, who's not here today, Chris Turley, First Virginia Community Bank, Mike Sweeney, Right Source Marketing, and John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching. John, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today?
Sure, Herb. Our first guest is Heidi Parsons, founder and CEO of Torchlight Hire. Then we'll talk to Kai Anderson, CEO of Cassidy & Associates. Our third guest is Trevor Garner, the business banking market manager for the Mid-Atlantic of M&T Bank. And our last guest is Anirudh Kulkarni, founder and CEO of CVP, which is Customer Value Partners.
Let's get to know our first guest, Heidi Parsons, founder and CEO of Torchlight Hire. Heidi, what is Torchlight Hire? What are you guys doing?
We're a staffing company for marketing and creatives in the D.C. metro area.
How large or how small is this firm?
We're 10 employees with 40 contractors.
And how old is the firm?
We're 6 years old.
All right. And how'd you get a job with it?
I founded it.
You started the company. Where are you from originally?
Westchester County, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have two, one of each.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest.
And what happened to you when you were 12?
My parents got divorced.
So what happened to your role in the family when your parents got divorced?
I had to take on a lot more responsibility and act more like an adult at that point in time.
Well, you didn't have to, but it sounds like you did. John, what kind of questions do you
have? So I'm curious, how did that work out, or how did it evolve economically? What did you do to make money as a kid?
When I was 9 or 10 years old, I started selling seeds and greeting cards to neighbors and family.
And then what did you next as a kid?
I also, when I was in middle school, I helped my mom out with her paper route, and so she paid us $1.50 a week to help her, and then went to Haagen-Dazs when I was a freshman and started working in retail.
So what did you do at Haagen-Dazs?
I scooped ice cream.
So what does scooping ice cream have to do with running a temporary or a staffing and hiring agency?
That's a good question, but it was the first contact I really had with a lot of customers and had to make them feel as guests when they walked into the store.
So what's that got to do, though, with scooping ice cream, making customers happy? How does that actually really translate day-to-day in what you do?
So our goal is always to make both sides of our equation happy, our employers and our candidates, and we have to really understand their needs and what they want to be able to make the right placement.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
Given Dad's absence and some of Mom's struggles that you talked about, there must have been another adult that had a significant influence on your life.
Yes, my grandfather was very involved in my early life.
What kind of lessons did he specifically teach you?
He taught me about the value of working hard. He taught me about being an entrepreneur because he was one himself. And he also had a lot of varied interests. So he taught me about the value of family, which was the most important thing in the world to him.
And did he teach you anything specifically about kind of financial stuff that otherwise a child your age wouldn't have gotten into?
Yes. When I was in middle school working on a project, he gave me $2,000 to spend on penny stocks and asked me to do research, and he would spend the money and buy them. And so I ended up with 6 penny stocks, of which one actually did well.
Mm-hmm. So what did you learn from that experience?
I learned how to evaluate companies and how to look at things critically and to take a chance.
Chris?
So it seems like you had a lot of family dynamics going on. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with your younger siblings.
So it was really hard for all of us to grow up without a father in the house, but in particular for my brother to not have a role model for him. And so I helped him a lot academically, not socially, but academically throughout his career in school, and he did quite well.
How did that relationship affect how you handle your current employees as well as your clients?
Well, I learned to take on a lot of responsibility and mentorship to try to help with both my siblings and help keep them straight and narrow throughout. We joke that we raised ourselves, so I was the leader of the raising ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You touched on a little bit about your grandfather, but tell us how your grandmother influenced you as well.
She was really ahead of her time. She was a very, very strong woman who became the matriarch of the family after my grandfather died. And she taught me about leading without actually being an employee of an organization. She led the family. She was very strong. She made a lot of the rules. She made a lot of the decisions. She made all the financial decisions herself and really was a world traveler and did a lot of things in the 9 years after he died that she was alive to really show her independence and ability to be a woman of the world.
How do you use what she taught you in what you're doing now?
She showed me that women can be very strong at a time when her generation was not, and she taught me about the value of believing in myself and to really follow my passion.
How about sports? Tell us a little bit about your sports career.
Well, I wasn't the best athlete, but I worked really, really hard, and it taught me a lot about perseverance. By my senior year, I was given the most improved player in soccer, not because I was good, but because I was better than I had been. But it allowed me to really learn how to stick with something, which I think has been really important as an entrepreneur, to give me the ability to say, okay, even in the downtimes, we need to keep going because this is a really important thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Because we got the next question.
The word family has come up at least 10 times. How does that show up at Torchlight Hire?
When I founded the company, the most important thing for me was family and flexibility, and I founded it upon those principles. So my entire staff has a flexible schedule. Everybody works from home, and it's a company where we collaborate with each other, we help each other, we support each other through up and downs, and almost all of us are actually moms.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
So you had mentioned in the green room that your parents got divorced and your mother had a difficult time finding a job but came to you with questions when you were 12. Can you elaborate on that?
So she often needed help in figuring out what she wanted to do for a living, and for some reason I was able to help guide her and help support her through her decisions and her interview process.
Isn't that what you do nowadays for a living?
It sure is. So somehow my 12-year-old self became my 40-something-year-old self.
Uh-huh. It's interesting about that. Who's got the next question here? Michael?
So you mentioned that you had to pay for everything yourself starting at about age 14. So does that make you a frugal business owner or a freewheeler? How did that change you?
No, it doesn't make me frugal. I wish it did, actually. But instead, I think what it makes me is realize that I have to support myself and be responsible for myself. I am the breadwinner for my family. And it has made me realize how important it is to depend on your own capabilities and to keep pushing so that you can always have a roof over your head and food on your table, which are really the things that are most important.
Chris, what else are you thinking?
Sounds like mentorship and giving back is an extreme principle of how you run your business. In what ways does that business do that today in the community?
So I've been involved in a lot of things. I've been trying to find a number of ways to do that. I've been very involved with my university, but I've also been very involved locally on the employment side, trying to help nonprofit organizations that specialize in employment and or transition back into the workforce.
Why was the company named Torchlight Hire?
Torchlight is a very important piece of where I went to college. I went to Colgate University, and they have a ceremony at the beginning when you're a freshman and when you graduate that where you hold a torch and you walk down a big hill around the lake there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful ceremony, and it represents both a beginning and an end. And it's a very it demonstrates a lot of loyalty to the school, and it's something that we all as alums value of our time there, and it's one of the greatest memories I have of my graduation was the torches around the lake.
What's that have to do with building a business?
So when you're loyal to something and you have a team of people who are very loyal to you as well, that was a key thing, was really building an organization that was had a lot of integrity at its core. And everything we do is about being honest and being forthright about who we talk to and what we do. And we will walk away from placements if we don't feel like the organization is supporting us or supporting the staff in the way that it should. And so for it's the same as my university, because I felt like they were there to help us through thick and thin, even if, you know, even if we got wayward for a little bit.
You mentioned that your grandfather was a successful businessman, but at one point his company did kind of stumble. Tell us about that and then how it informs how you run Torchlight Hire.
Yeah, so he was in the Christmas decoration business, and he was asked to put his personal assets on the line for his business, and he wasn't willing to do that to help get through the off season. So he chose family and security over his business, which I really value that he didn't want to put his personal assets on the line.
What do you value? Give me that again.
I value the fact that he chose his family and his personal life over his business, keeping it afloat when he didn't want to take the risk of losing everything by co-signing on a loan.
Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of respect for people. You have a lot of you really like connecting with people, don't you?
I like connecting.
Business is not just a transaction for you. Business is about relationships, isn't it?
Particularly, that's where Torchlight was founded, is on relationships.
Figured. What's the website address of this organization?
TorchlightHire.com.
We've been speaking with Heidi Parson, founder and CEO of Torchlight Hire and the host of Executive Leaders Radio, now produce the most engaging internet videos to position your business as an authority, increasing revenues and shortening your sales cycle. Visit ExecutiveLeadersRadio.com. And we will be back in a moment right after this break. And your name and company is?
Jim Elliott, FVC Bank.
And Jim, what's your role at the bank?
Regional Lending Executive, team leader.
Uh-huh. So you're a team leader, regional lending executive at First Virginia Community Bank. And where are you from originally?
From the Midwest, Chicago area.
Chicago area. How many brothers and sisters?
I've got two sisters and a brother.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I am second oldest.
Second oldest of four.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about what was going on with your family life way back then.
It was an interesting life. My dad worked very hard. He supported the family. But when I was about 13 years old, my mom went back to work. She found she wanted a job, so I became the guy in charge at home.
Tell us a little bit about that. How'd that happen?
I would just say that I am the oldest male in the family. I have an older sister, mm-hmm. but so my dad was very much, boys are in charge, so I was in charge.
Mm-hmm. So tell us how you got put in charge.
My mom would leave notes on what to make for dinner. She'd leave the ingredients out, and I'd get started and get dinner ready. I'd make sure that my brother got home from school on time and all of that. That was my job.
Mm-hmm. How'd you feel about that responsibility as opposed to being able to go out and hang out with your friends or play?
I welcomed it. I enjoyed it very much. I saw value in what I did.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with your role as regional lending executive at this First Virginia Community Bank?
As my role as a team leader, I find it that I would like to I teach my team. I help them discover ways of doing loans and ways of saying yes to customers.
Do you see a connection between what was going on in your childhood and what you're doing nowadays?
I absolutely do.
What is that? What's that connection?
It's being in charge, and leading and mentoring and teaching.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for this First Virginia Community Bank?
FVCBank.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FVCBank.com.
We've been speaking with Jim Elliott, Regional Lending Executive, First Virginia Community Bank, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Kai Anderson, CEO of Cassidy & Associates. Kai, what is Cassidy & Associates?
Cassidy is a lobbying firm that was founded about 43 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And how large or small is this lobbying firm?
We have 28 employees.
And where are you from originally?
I grew up in La Grande, Oregon, which is about halfway between Portland, Oregon and Boise, Idaho.
How many brothers and sisters?
None.
You're an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't you also tell us that you're the oldest grandchild as opposed to just being the only child?
I am. I was the oldest on both sides, but my mom has two siblings, my dad has three, and we all lived within an hour's drive of each other.
Uh-huh. So you actually mentioned to us earlier that you were like raised by your aunts and uncles.
Yeah, so my dad was in a rock and roll band when I was little. And we would travel all over the Pacific Northwest and lived in a big band house in Portland. And so I had aunts and uncles on call at all times.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Kai, tell me a little more about that traveling. I mean, being a young kid in Oregon and traveling across the world, how's that affected you?
Well, so it's a great experience in a lot of ways. I was competing for airtime with people that were 20 years my senior, and so I had to advocate for everything. I thought I was an adult. As I mentioned earlier, I thought everybody was an aunt or an uncle, and so I had to advocate for my spot in the band truck.
Mm-hmm. Did you mention, though, yeah, tell us about your earliest memory, if you would, please.
So traveling around the Pacific Northwest, I think one of my earliest memories was a gig my dad's band had at Sun Valley, Idaho, and sleeping behind the amplifiers in my dad's velvet guitar case.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
That's an interesting way to grow up, but you did grow up in Oregon. What did you like about it, and what did you do for fun?
So where I grew up in Eastern Oregon is a great place, town of about 12,000 people. It's had 12,000 people since the first pioneers came through and has 12,000 people now. It's a place surrounded by public lands, so lands that we all own, Bureau of Land Management and Forest Service lands, as well as Park Service managed lands.
And what did you do? Did you hunt?
So we were constantly out hunting and fishing and rafting the Grand Ronde River on our inner tubes, depending on the time of the year.
So what's that? What effects that having on you nowadays in building this entity called Cassidy & Associates?
So, our role at Cassidy is basically helping clients advocate for themselves in front of the federal government, either the agencies, various agencies, or the House and Senate. I do a lot of work on public lands and conservation-related issues, stuff that's close to my heart.
Hmm, interesting. John?
So tell us about a time when you were a kid but a little older when you advocated for yourself or somebody else.
One of the first things I can remember was being placed in one of the grade schools in town that I didn't want to go to. First day of class, they asked for volunteers to leave, and I jumped over a couple of desks on my way to the front of the room to volunteer myself to move to the school I did want to go to.
So what kind of stuff do you volunteer for now?
So the pro bono work I do is really on conservation-related matters. When I'm lucky, I spend time helping coach my youngest son's little league team.
And how do you work to persuade people on that? How does that go back to your first advocacy as a kid?
Well, persuading eight-year-olds to do anything is a trick, right? Anybody that's coached little league baseball knows it's a little bit like water on a hot skillet, right? They're going all different directions, and getting them to focus is really a challenge.
Michael?
So you mentioned that you hate to lose. Where did that competitive spirit show up?
I think a lot of it came from, you know, competing at pretty much anything with my aunts and uncles and my dad's bandmates, right? They're all 20 years older than I was, and whether it was a board game or a card game or an athletic ball game, I was happy to participate in anything.
So you had the guts to compete against people 20 years older than you?
Absolutely. The only time the game was over is when I had finally won.
Sounds like you had almost an idyllic childhood in Oregon.
It was a great place to grow up. It was a unique childhood, and I wouldn't do it any differently.
Why did you leave?
So, as I mentioned, LeGrand's had 12,000 people for a long time. There's not a lot in the way of economic activity and growth, and so I was focused on leaving for that reason, and ended up in California for college, and then back here for this part of my career.
Kai, what's success look like for you? What's success mean?
Success is if you're enjoying what you're doing every single day.
No. It has to do with money. You're running a business. Does it have to do with money?
No, not at all. I mean, for me, it's – and part of the reason that we – so June of last year, we bought the company back from a publicly traded company, an effort that I led, in part because I didn't want to worry about year-on-year or quarter-on-quarter growth. Success for me is – can we, create solutions for clients that are durable, that they enjoy, that we're proud of representing them, and get them the sorts of results they want?
So what do you enjoy? What's the best part of your day? What do you enjoy about your day?
I think one of the things I enjoy most is that no 2 days are the same. And I'm always in the business of solving problems, drawing solutions, and then implementing the solutions.
Mm-hmm. When you were hanging out in the woods near your home, did you follow the same path all the time?
You never follow the same path all the time. You never go out and back on the same route. It makes my kids crazy now when we drive somewhere and I'll invariably choose a different path back, even if it's not the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
We're never lost, though, for the record.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, John.
Yeah, you mentioned your mom took a different path kind of in life. Can you tell us about what she did?
So she was a single mom for much of the time she was raising me, and while I was in grade school, middle school, and high school and focused on my study, she worked as a teacher's aide. She worked as a municipal firefighter, as a wildland firefighter, as a waitress, as a nurse's aide. But throughout all of those different jobs she had, she was taking a night course every single semester and graduated from college the same time I graduated from high school.
So what parts of your mom show up in your work at Cassidy & Associates?
Well, I think she's way tougher than pretty much any of us. But, I think the attribute of sticking with things to their conclusion, right, to being disciplined in how you approach things, and sort of a relentlessness that is hard to teach.
Relentlessness, interesting. Who's got the next question here? Michael, J10?
What do you do to teach your children now that you learned from your childhood? What's the most important thing that you're trying to carry on?
So I think the biggest challenge is teaching them struggle, right? Because they come from a position of privilege in a lot of ways, and they don't have to worry, as I once did, sort of, about using food stamps and that sort of thing, right? So part of what we try to do with them is teach them empathy, to show them that there are other people in other circumstances, and it's important to understand that. So whether they're engaged in service projects or, traveling to places that are differently situated, including where I'm from, is really important to us.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
What about sports growing up? What'd you play?
I played any, like I said, I played anything that had a ball. But growing up in Eastern Oregon in the 70s and 80s, you didn't play soccer. You played baseball, basketball, and football. You could wrestle if you wanted, but I didn't like that, so I played basketball.
You must have been the best athlete on all those teams.
Certainly not. I may have competed as hard as anybody, but I certainly wasn't the best. I played point guard on the basketball team. I played quarterback for the football team, and I played pretty much anywhere on the diamond.
Were you a super loud vocal leader?
I wouldn't say I was super loud. I was engaged.
And what's that have to do with what your roles then? What's that have to do with building this business?
Well, so look, the kind of work I do and other folks around the table, it's a lot of it is leading by example of your
work
ethic.
What is the website address of Cassidy & Associates?
Say again?
Website address?
Cassidy.com, CASSIDY.com.
We're speaking with Kai Anderson, CEO of Cassidy & Associates here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment right after this break.
Biz Talk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit Biz TV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. Biz TV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of Biz Talk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com.
Life Insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8900. 945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690. Got an old car?
You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Trevor Garner, Business Banking Market Manager, Mid-Atlantic for M&T Bank. Trevor, what is M&T Bank?
M&T Bank is a super regional bank. Been around since 1856 and is about $120 billion in assets.
Wow. Where are you from originally?
Was born in Rochester, New York, and moved to Westchester County when I was in elementary school in New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Uh-huh. And what did Mom and Dad do for a living?
Mom was a minister, and Dad was also a banker.
Mom was a minister, and Dad was a banker. All right. Chris, what questions you got?
Trevor, tell me about your relationship with your father. Did you actually do any kind of businesses with him as you grew up?
It's interesting. We've never worked in the banking business together, but when I was about 10 years old, my brother and I got put into business by him with Garner Brothers Lawn Service and Rock Removal.
So he put you into business. What was the goal of that?
I think the goal, one, I think he wanted to inspire a work ethic in us, which we had, but he really wanted to understand how business works. So he bought the equipment, which we formerly had a loan for.
Your dad gave you money and had you repay it and pay interest?
Correct. So we would have to go out and convince folks that we could handle, a 10- and 12-year-old could handle mowing their lawn, doing their general services, collecting, and then once we collected, we'd come back, make our loan payment, and keep what money we earned.
How'd that make you feel?
Made me feel empowered. It was really neat because, one, I was doing it with my brother, and two, it made you feel a sense of accomplishment. And I think looking back on it, kind of the whole cycle and spectrum of how a business works.
How did you feel about having to pay your father back, the fact that he didn't give you the mower?
I was fine with that. I don't think my brother or I would have ever expected a different scenario there.
So the profits you made were, you had the mower, you had to go pay for gas, any maintenance, and then you had to pay your father back a certain amount, and then you got to keep the profits.
Correct.
How'd that influence your role here? It says you're the Business Banking Market Manager at Mid-Atlantic for M&T Bank.
Yeah, well, we work with family-owned, privately held businesses, sometimes generation businesses, sometimes partnerships, and I think just an early and fairly basic way, but of understanding kind of the business cycle from how people generate revenue, the product and service.
Am I putting words in your mouth, or did that really influence you, the fact that you were...
Absolutely.
No, all right. I just wanted to make sure. Who's got the next question here? I think that
you've done some youth sports coaching?
Yes, I have.
What sports and ages?
I coached both of my daughters from the ages of 4 to approximately 10 in soccer and basketball.
That's a tough job. What motivated you to do that?
You know, I love spending time with them. Two, I was an athlete growing up. And three, my father kind of started me off in my athletic career with coaching.
So your dad coached as well?
He coached us, yeah.
What kind of coach was he? What was his style?
He was definitely someone that wanted to have fun, but was competitive, and was kind of very vested in each of the kids, but made it fun with kind of creative names of plays, etc.
Is there anything similar between the way you coach 4 to 10-year-olds and how you coach employees today?
I think so. I you know, for me, I think you have to find out what motivates someone. You know, it's a little different ages provide different challenges, but why are they there? What are you trying to accomplish? And what's the experience you want them to have? And I think in both, whether it's work or coaching, if people aren't having fun, they're generally not going to perform at their best.
You had mentioned that your dad is obviously a big mentor for you, but that he always played games and made up games.
Yeah, so outside the basics, like everything was a game. We played, before we'd go to bed, my brother and I were in the same room. We played football to five, if you could, who could catch five passes first, or we'd play, just we'd make up a game. But I think about a modern day that carried over to my daughters, where we'll be at a restaurant, and if we can find a salt shaker, we'll slide it across the table at each other, trying to get it to just lean over the edge, and that's called the leaner. And you get 2 points for that, which is pretty cool.
Do you use this in your work, and do you bring this to work?
I do. I mean, I think what I try to bring to work is, I think we all spend so much time at work that it's not your immediate family, but if it's not a secondary family and there isn't that kind of affection, and whether it's games or interest or helping people, it probably makes for long days.
It's interesting you just used the word affection. It's an interesting word to use regarding your teammates at work. Do you really feel that way?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's two great things. It was more than two great things, but the two great things about being a banker is seeing other people get ahead. A lot of people took interest in my career, and I think it's as you get ahead, you have that same responsibility. And also, I think for when we have clients, that, you know, it's more than just they're coming to a bank. They have to have an affection, and vice versa for what you do and you for what they do.
How large is this bank? 120?
$120 billion approximately.
$120 billion. How many employees?
Approximately 17,000.
About 17,000 employees. And you're telling me there's affection in the ranks, huh?
Without question. I think if you look here in Northern Virginia, we don't have a huge branch presence. What we really have is a team committed to high service, high customized solutions, and high touch.
I just needed to hear it. I mean, I don't read that in the newspapers, but you know, you're working on the inside. You're running this division, John.
You know, you said you mowed yards as a kid for spending money, and that's not unusual for young boys. You also said you removed rocks. What's the most memorable rock removal job you did?
I guess I would consider it. We had a subsidiary business we found because we were in a newer neighborhood, so the lawns had just been planted. What happens is you'd be cutting grass around the rocks, and we started upselling clients to saying we could take these rocks out and move them out, fill them in with dirt, seed the grass, and make your lawn better. So I think when you're 10 and 12 and you're trying to take out a couple hundred pound rock, it becomes
interesting. You have an older brother and a younger sister, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you were doing this lawn mowing business with your brother or sister?
Brother.
Uh-huh. What did you do different than him?
Say that again?
Well, what did you do different than him? What was your role different than your brother's?
You know, we really had an equal balance in that role.
Who was the salesman?
I was probably a little more the salesman, but we would kind of alternate. They're about acre yards, so someone would drive the tractor, someone would do the trim, and then you'd reverse it.
So you're pretty good at doing a lot of different things. It sounds to me, is that what you also do at work, where you're able to help your people out as opposed to like throwing them under the bus? If they need a hand with something, you'll jump in there.
My philosophy is if you can't do it, you shouldn't try to coach it.
I just needed to hear it from you, John.
How do you remove rocks today in the banking business?
You know, I think the banking business is an interesting business nowadays, and I think it can be confusing to the outside world, and we talked about kind of media. I think the key is to make banking simple, and it might look like a big rock depending on kind of new regulations or something, but quality bankers around town can kind of make those rocks go away.
That was a good question, John. That was nice of you. Trevor, if we were doing a good interview, what could we learn about your family? How many? Do you have any kids?
I have two daughters.
Two daughters. How old are your daughters?
16 and 18. So I have one almost going into college, and I'm teaching the other to drive.
What's the parallel being a dad and being the business banking market manager at Mid-Atlantic, M&T Bank?
You know, I think hopefully, like my dad to me did for me, is to kind of pass down some life lessons and have them carry some of those things forward.
What's the parallel between being the business banking market manager for Mid-Atlantic for the M&T Bank and being a dad? the similarity between your roles at work and at home?
I think the most similar thing is how you develop people, how I develop the people who work with me, and then how do I develop my daughters into the amazing women they're becoming.
Is there a similarity there?
I think so, without question.
Like what?
I think it's how you coach and teach, how you kind of bring past experiences forward and share them so that they might miss some pitfalls along the way that you can help along that way.
So you think your role is to mentor both the folks at work as well as your daughters? You see,
yes,
a similarity there.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Clearly being a dad is a key thing in your life. What's your best memory of your dad?
I'll tell you, my best memory of my dad would be either us water skiing together when I was younger, and he said, I think I drove him the first time I saw him water ski, which he was, my dad was always about records. He was probably 40. He goes, "You ever seen a 40-year-old water ski?" And I said, "No." And he said, get behind the boat, you know, get behind the wheel. And I'd never driven a water skier before, so that's how I learned how to do that.
He put a lot of faith in you to do that. It was your first time.
Yes, he that's kind of how he coached and taught.
What do you mean? How did he coach and teach?
He wanted you to experience it with him. He wanted to do things with you. So, you know, you'd kind of come along. And again, everything, you know, I'd driven a boat before, for example. He wouldn't have just let me do that. Uh-huh. But when you have a person in the water, he was going to be that
how's
first
that
person
parallel,
the honor,
how's,
trusting
how, how's
him.
How's that rub off into your business career?
I think it's the same way. I don't want to sit behind a desk and lead. I really want to be out there with my folks.
What's
working.
The website address of this M&T Bank?
MTB.com.
We've been speaking with Trevor Garner, Business Banking Market Manager, Mid-Atlantic, M&T Bank, and the host of Executive Leaders Radio, now produce the most engaging internet videos to position your business as an authority, increasing revenues, and shortening your sales cycle. Visit executiveleadersradio.com, and we'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves, because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams.
So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, ICOM Geeks on site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks on site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks on site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. We'd like to introduce James Jordan, shareholder of Carlton Fields Jordan Burt. James, what is Carlton Fields Jordan Burt?
Carlton Fields Jordan Burt is a law firm. I represent, I'm the chairman of the financial institutions group within that law firm, about 80 lawyers. We represent financial institutions across the United States in litigation and regulatory issues.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
Western Pennsylvania.
All right. And what was going on with you about 11 years old? What kind of were you participating in sports, and what kind of stuff were you doing?
Mostly I was participating in fights and working.
Rob, why don't you take it from here?
In your fights, why were you getting into fights?
Well, I was in sports as well. I was captain of our high school football, basketball, but mainly, I was getting into fights because the group that I was hanging out with, others within the group, mostly smaller others, were getting picked on, and I was.
So you were looking out for the little guy in those groups.
I was trying to.
And you were going out and defending them.
I was.
And who in your life used to defend and look up for you?
Well, I would say my family generally, certainly my sister.
And how did your sister always look out for you? What was she doing for you?
Well, when she had to, she would get in fights herself.
So you kind of learned to look out for the little person because you had somebody older looking out for you. How does that relate to what you do now?
Well, I think a lot of my job is to look out for the team that we've assembled over the past 20 years. To make sure, and the clients that we represent, I think our job is to protect
John,
them.
What did your dad do when you were growing up, James?
He tried to find jobs as often as he could. He had many different jobs, many different things.
So he was in and out of work a lot?
Yes.
How did that affect you growing up?
I never wanted it to happen to me.
And so what steps have you taken? How did you put that into your childhood plan for your adulthood?
Well, I believed that the practice of law would provide a stable and make money.
Megan?
Who was a role model to you growing up?
Well, I think my mother was a role model. I think my father was a role model because he never quit trying to do the right thing, and he was a wonderful man.
And how has that influenced you throughout your life?
Well, I think both my mother and father looked out for all three of us. We were poor. We didn't know how poor we were, but they always looked out for us, and they tried to do everything they could for us.
So they protected you. Is that a lot of where that protective instinct comes from?
I suppose so. I think so. I think it's also because I've noted that if you want to be successful, you're going to be successful because you're taking care of others.
Tim? You were looking for stability, and yet you found yourself as a door gunner in Vietnam. What did you learn about leadership in that role?
Well, that wasn't my choice, of course. But I learned that protecting others was my job. The job of a door gunner is to protect the people who are on the ship when you're taking them in and bringing them out.
And you didn't necessarily want that role.
I didn't ask for that role, no.
How did you end up there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't good enough on electronics, which is what my expertise was supposed to be.
Beth?
I'm hearing a big team theme coming from you. How does that play out today, this protecting others, being part of a team?
Absolutely. In fact, just as an example, from a compensation standpoint, the way we control it is even if you're not billing hours, and some of you can understand that, but you're doing work that's important to the team, you get paid for it.
Mm-hmm. Anne-Marie?
So your mom nurtured you and your sister protected you. How has that impacted the way you work with women in business?
Well, I personally think that women, a lot of women, make the best lawyers because they get it done. There's something about their lack of instinct to exaggerate, show off, whatever you may call it. Women are better at it, and they get things done.
Melissa?
So you're obviously very confident. You stood up for people growing up, and you're passionate about what you do. But if you weren't practicing law, what else do you think you would have a career in?
Well, I taught at Duke Law School for a couple of years, and I would go back to that.
Why? What's special about the teaching? Why would you do that?
Well, once again, I think, I know that helping others has helped me along the way.
Helping others has helped me. What are you talking about?
Well, there's no question in my mind that I've won a lot of cases. I've tried a lot of cases. I've lost some cases too, but both winning and losing, I wouldn't be where I am today without the help of others. There's no question about that.
Uh-huh. Rob,
who are those others who helped you get to where you are then?
Well, there were senior partners when I was starting. And then when I left the firm and built my own firm, there were very talented lawyers that came with me that provided all the skills and the expertise.
Why are all these individuals willing to help you and follow you? What is it that you're sending? What message are you sending out to them?
Well, I hope it's because it's a team message, and they've always been treated fairly, both from a compensation standpoint as well as for getting the credit for success.
And Melissa?
And also, when you mentioned teaching, you specifically mentioned law. Is that what you would want to teach? Is it because you're empowering people to also stand up for others, or is it just the act of teaching? Would that be your main interest?
It's because that's what I'm the best at.
Okay.
You said, James, that when you were a kid, you were both a fighter who got transferred from school to school because you were fighting, but you were also the family negotiator. Which of these qualities of yours do you bring most to the workplace, the standing up and fighting for others or the family negotiator quality?
Well, I think you need both, and I would say it's almost 50-50, both with clients and with the people who work for you.
How did you know you were good at talking to people?
Well, when I noticed that I was being successful at getting what I wanted.
How young were you when that was occurring and what was occurring?
About 8 years old.
And what was it?
I don't recall specifically other than getting the right players on my basketball team. That's probably
so you were organizing the basketball team?
Yes. Yes, we had a little...
And you think there's a similarity between organizing a basketball team and a law firm, huh?
Yes.
What's the similarity?
Teamwork.
And people. What's the website address of your organization?
Carlton Fields... com.
We've been speaking with James Jordan, shareholder of Carlton Fields Jordan Burt, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And we've also had the opportunity of speaking with Alka Dhillon, CEO and founder at Technolink, Christopher Mann, Managing Partner, Tyson's Corner Office of Cohn Resnick. Ken Lopez, Founder and CEO of A2L Consulting. Again, most recently, James Jordan, Shareholder of Carlton Fields Jordan Burt. I would like to thank my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, John Hill and GMU, Beth Berman, AEG, Tim Young, Young Marketing Consultant, Megan Fishburne, Agency Q, Melissa Goldate, Marson and Forster, Rob Longman, Longman and Van Grack, and Emery Spadafore for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Ooh, we nailed that.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.